Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 29, Expressions of Love for Krishna. Okay. Page 43. Okay, verse 242. The Vyavichari Bhavas reveal themselves by words, by eyebrows and other bodily parts, and by external actions, anubhavas, which arise from overwhelming emotions, sattva. Since they set in motion, sancharayati, the course of the sthayi bhava, they are called sanchari bhavas. Jiva Goswami, right? And then the other one is what? Thereafter, from 241, hereafter, the 33 vyavichari bhavas will be described. They are called vyavichari bhavas since they move, charati, charanti, against the sthayi bhava, while assisting it in a distinctive way. And here is that, since they are called sanchari, since they set in motion the course of the sthayi bhava. So they have the course of the sthayi bhava, and there's the aspect of that distinctness that they generate because of the, against the sthayi bhava. So in other words, they'll change some flavor of the sthayi. Like that. I mean, because the sthayi bhava is constant, but the taste that one's getting in it, it'll set something to set it moving, set it going, but it'll use a contradictory aspect. So, yes.
This relation, Bharat Muni, he also gives the example of cooking, where the main vegetables are the sthayi bhava, but in order to release the preparation, you add different mixture of spices. Mm-hmm. That is all this vyabhichari sanchari bhava.
Okay.
Then that increases the flavor of the.
Okay, yeah, because you put in some are sour, some are hot, some are this, so they're different than the. Very good. See, cooking is the standard. Yeah, good, good. Yes.
Can we say that both sanchari and vyabhichari support the sthayi bhava, but one is against the main mood and one is in support of the main mood?
No, they're both in support. Well, assisting. They're both assisting. But one is like, it's bringing out, it's setting a direction. If you're bringing out, it's just like, by acting in a, against the sthayi bhava, you're going to get, it's going to change the direction.
Right.
No?
Yes.
Or start something.
Yes.
So, that's the whole point, is it, by the one thing, it does both. That's why you can call them sanchari or vyabhichari. It's just a matter of which aspect is coming out, then you'd use that term.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same thing. It's 33 of them. So, they're vyabhicharis or sanchari. It's just depending on whether you're looking at the difference that's there. You know, just like, let's say you're saying there, in the vegetable, then you're going, it'll have a nice taste, but if you put in something sour, a sour flavor, it brings out the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like, let's say, modern thing, you use tomatoes. But before, when you didn't have tomatoes and not so much, they would use like amchur, you know, the dried green mango powder. So it has that little sourness to it.
Yeah.
And that, I've also seen is that, one area, Gujarat, they would put tamarind.
Mm-hmm. South is full of tamarind.
Yeah, full of tamarind. But this would be in the subjis also?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So the same kind of thing. So it's just the idea is something sour brings that out. You also see Bengal, sometimes they use a little yogurt just to give that little bit of sourness. So it's different from the subji, and so it enhances the whole thing. So the overall taste. So you say it's something different, but it doesn't mean that it's inimical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like, let's say, let's say we have lemon juice as a drink. Okay? So, what are the tastes that are there? Right? It's got sweet and sour. The lemon is sour, and you put sugar in the sweet, but it has to be the right amount, then it's balanced. You know how much sour you put, that much sweet you put.
Yes.
Like I always was impressed with the Marwari lemon juice. I think they called it what? Shikanji. Like that. They only put a little bit of lemon and a little bit of sugar. Because the idea is supposed to quench the thirst rather than make you more thirsty. Like that. But it's so balanced that it's just perfect. Because if we were normally doing it, we'd say, oh, there's less, you know, this doesn't have, but it's because they drop the lemon, they also drop the sugar. Mm-hmm. And so then it's just perfectly balanced. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And so it brings out the flavor. Or you can do one where you put in, you know, two lemons and a whole ton of sugar, and it also is in that, you know, it's more intense. Mm-hmm. You know, then we're talking about ujwala here, right? Rather than domya or something. Yeah, you know? So that's the thing, is it creates this balance. You know, or let's say like a dalna, there's like 20 different spices in there. But the point is, you can't identify any of them. It's all perfectly blended. So that's the whole idea. Or let's say, like, you have paneer or cheese. It's slightly sweetish, but you put mustard, which is hot. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what these sancharis are doing. They're adding in these other flavors to bring out, enhance the rasa. So you have, you know, more than salt and pepper here. So you have 33 of them. So, yes.
Maharaj, also, when we are discussing about tasting the rasa, then we are concentrating on the variegatedness it can create.
Okay.
But when we are discussing about the rati, the intensity of the rati, that's when we can make a comparison that this rati is more because of the intensity it can bring out.
Oh, okay.
So that's the difference, like when we say rati and rasa. I mean, rati
okay.
need not be exclusively for that term.
Right.
But increase of rati, that's the only time we discuss. Otherwise, rasa includes like the variegatedness and the...
You're discussing that part. So then when they say rasa, they're meaning that context.
Yes.
And when they're saying rati, they mean the other.
Rati, when it specifically means, rati has a very general word also can be used.
Hmm.
But only when we discuss about the intensity, that's when we make the distinction that which is better, which is not.
Okay, because of the intensity.
Which can create. Right. That's why sometimes the Sthayi Bhavas, why, as soon as the Sthayi Bhava comes, like, there's always a distinction, one is lower, one is higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it can need not be like that. Like, Kubja apparently is in Madhurya Rati, but the intensity she experiences is very less
mm-hmm.
compared to somebody who is in Sakya Bhava
mm-hmm.
will be at closing mm-hmm. to Anubhava or Mahabhava.
Right, right.
So the whole mixture mm-hmm. and how we see it. Like.
Yeah, no, nice. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Maharaj, what are the difference between the Vyabhichari and Sanchari?
They're the same thing.
And one is more...
No, they're the same exact thing.
Okay.
It's just two different names depending upon which aspect you're looking at. Right? You know, it's just like we're saying. In the sabji, by putting in a particular spice, it kind of sets the direction of the sabji.
Yes.
So that's called sanchari. We're talking about that the flavor itself that you're putting in there that sets the direction is what do you call it, against, or it's not the same nature as the sabji. Then you call it vyabhichari.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like putting something sour in the sabji.
Yes.
That's against the nature of the sabji.
Sanchari.
Yes, so then you call it vyabhichari. But if you're saying that by putting that sour in, it gives it a whole other direction and flavor and how you play, then you call it sanchari. It's the same thing. It's not two different things. That's why sometimes they call it vyabhichari, sometimes they call it sanchari. But it's just a matter of how it's adding the flavor. Does that make sense? Yes.
Just like in order to change or vary the taste, it should be something different from what is originally present.
Yes.
So because it is different, it is vyabhichari. Because it is changing, then it is sanchari.
Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out, then they'll use that name. But it's the same 33
yes.
Bhavas.
Yes. Okay.
It's not a different list.
Yes. Okay.
So
different is sanchari?
The difference is vyabhichari, and then the direction that it creates, or kind of the mood that it sets, that's the sanchari. Yes.
In South, the dishes, when the spices become more hot, they put tamarind, a little bit more tamarind.
Okay, so kind of balancing. Yeah, that's true.
The tamarind becomes more, than you add gur to balance it.
And then when that's too much, then you put gur.
Yeah. So first it acts like vyabhichari, then you go to adding sanchari.
Yeah. Okay. Just keep going. Because each one adds to the next one until. Okay, that's where that comes from.
That's why chutneys, you keep on adding all the three as much as
you want. Yeah, you just keep going. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
At this part of the book, some teachers insist that we should memorize all the sanchari bhavas, otherwise, you know, in the future we won't understand, or we be lost in the future discussion. Is that true?
I have no idea. Because the point is if you can't tell the difference between vyabhichari and sanchari, you're already lost.
That's why I'm asking.
No, because the point is these others, that it's the subtlety that's there. When it comes up, one will be able to appreciate it. Because the point is they have their particular position and all that. You know, it's because they change, like you said, the external form of it is the anubhav.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then the internal form of it, that's the sattva. So it'll have effect on all that. It'll all be together. So I don't think it's, you know, I mean, if you can, nice, but I would say is that won't be what generates the understanding. Does that make sense? It can add to the appreciation because it's easier to talk about. But that's why we have footnotes. That's one consideration, memorize all 33. There's another consideration that Bhagavatam mentions. You know, I think in the first canto, it's called Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Pagye, like that, yes. So
footnotes, it's our external memory, is that right?
Yes. The footnote is our memory.
They're like sticky notes.
Yeah. Reminders. Even though in general academic circles, they don't really like that. So if you're looking in more practical kind of things, you want to apply it, then you need to put it there. Because otherwise you may have memorized it, but if you don't know what it means and how to apply it, it actually isn't coming to the point of abhidha. Like that. You have knowledge, you memorize. But abhidha means you understand how to apply it. That's the science. So the memorization isn't the science. Knowing how to use it's the science. You know? And naturally by working with it, then you'll remember it. But otherwise, we want to be careful that we don't have our own idea of what it is. Just like, I remember, if you remember last year and the year before, because then in the 11th canto we were starting to change how we were applying the words, the vocabulary. And so there was a big problem in just the change in the vocabulary. So if you've memorized all 33, but you have it in one particular category, you'll spend the whole time trying to change it into the other. Well, if you don't have that kind of thing, then you see how it's applied. So,
yes.
Both methods have their validity, but, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Less arguing works better. You know, it's like before, you have the thing of control, and because of that, I can control it, therefore I'm superior to it. Or it's controlling me, so it's superior. It's all about control.
Yeah.
So it wasn't about the Lord in there and his control, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Or about the other point was that it's the natural position of the living entity to serve the Lord. So that's the natural. So them being this is artificial. It's just the measurement was based on control.
Yeah.
So because of that, it couldn't be understood.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty you have. Means if what is being remembered is the Abhideya aspect, then you're understanding the science of it, how to apply it. Then the knowledge itself, the jnana itself, then becomes vijnana. You're able to use it. But otherwise, if it just stays as jnana, then the problem is if it doesn't match the definitions or how you like to keep it in a particular, like you like it in a certain way, but then when the acharyas give other examples than that and completely change, broaden its or deepen its understanding, they don't change it, but it just make it broader, that it accommodates more, it goes deeper, then we may not be inclined.
Yeah.
You know, because the whole point is the application, so one has to be careful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm thinking another point on control, that in modern man's mind, control equals exploitation.
Mm.
But Lord doesn't want to exploit, you know, his energies.
Right, right.
But we, conscious energy, immediately thinking of unconscious energy as, you know, opportunity to exploit. That's
right.
Why the control has a negative connotation.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Because if somebody's controlling me, means, you know, it's exploiting me.
Yes, but if I'm controlling someone else, I'm just, you know, doing the, you know,
benefiting
everybody. Yes, like that's different. But yes, because in the spiritual world, the energies are all conscious, and so you can't. They won't appreciate being dealt with not in context of Krishna. So then there'll be a problem. Yes.
Maharaj, in the beginning it described what are all the various ingredients which can change a particular flavor. But
Okay. No, it's just because it started, it's just samskar. When you said in the beginning, then immediately I'm saying there's the word. Right? You know, so, yeah, okay.
But later, I think that's how at least Jiva Goswami describes. All these are described in the context of increase of the rati, like the 8 stages of priti. First is rati, then prema, pranaya, sneha, up till mahabhava.
Okay. They're taking it as all the levels of rati. Okay.
Then it's described as priti, 8 stages of priti.
8 stages of priti, okay.
Because that's the priti sandarbha. And then all these vyabhichari bhavs and then other anubhavas, they create a particular one, like anuraga is ever fresh. To create that ever new thing, then what kind of vyabhichari bhav in a particular instance can evoke
okay.
happen? So the running of it happens according to that particular intensity of the mood that is experienced.
Okay, so that's what we're talking. That's all in the context of priti.
Yes.
So the love for Krishna, then that whole depending on the intensity there. So each level is more intense than the last. That's the point. Okay, and so then at which of the vyabhicharis are coming up to
the definitions of these 8 levels are this. First, rati is having attraction to Lord. Prema is. Then there is some kind of possessiveness on Lord.
Uh-huh.
Then pranaya is that possessiveness has been more solid.
Uh-huh.
Then comes sneha, because of that possessiveness, then there is a softening of heart.
Uh-huh.
Then all this crying, shedding tears, all uh-huh. this come at that level. Then there is mana. Mana means expressing anger, which is opposite. Then after mana there is raga. Raga is like having that intense attachment, just like the parents have for that Vatsalya Bhav. Then anuraga is defined as ever new. That attachment becomes ever fresh. Every movement happens like something more fresh. Then Mahabhava is like.
So anuraga and bhava are the same. Because sometimes it's bhava, Mahabhava. Because when you're saying rati, you're not calling that stage bhava.
That is the which bhava we are discussing, Maharaj. The bhava.
Sometimes the seventh level is called bhava.
Yeah, then it is anuraga, ever new.
So anuraga and bhava are the same. Okay.
Then the mahabhava stage.
Okay.
So in this context, then the anger and other things fall from the mana stage and.
So then those particular vyabhicharis will go in their particular places.
Particular places.
Okay, to bring out that aspect. Okay, so what will be ever freshness? Those will be those ones. Those will create anger. Those will create possessiveness or softness of heart. Those different the vyabhicharis will be there to support. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for some of these will go in line with the particular sthayi bhava, some doesn't go.
Okay, yes. So certain ones have certain. Mm-hmm. It gives a list of which ones match with which sthayi.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Jiva Goswami.
Footnote, Maharaj.
Footnote. Yeah. Oh, because we only got halfway through. Okay. Okay. The Vyabhichari Bhavas reveal themselves by words, by eyebrows and other bodily parts, and by external actions, Anubhavas, which arise from overwhelming emotions, Sattva, footnote 10. The section on Sattvika Bhavas explain that Sattvika Bhavas arise solely from deep emotions, and Anubhavas arise from deep emotions with the addition of intellect as well. In the description of the various Vyabhichari Bhavas, some of them are described as producing sattvika bhavas, such as tears or hair standing on end, and some produce anubhavas, such as dancing. That would mean that a vyabhichari bhava produces sattva, deep emotion, which then produces a sattvika bhava. The external symptoms of sattvika bhavas are sometimes called the anubhava aspect of the sattvika bhavas. So is that meaning that here that the vyabhicharis are always... that they're in relationship to the sattvika bhavas, not the anubhavas. Unfortunately, the man has left. Okay. Jiva Goswami.
The vyabhichari bhavas, can you say that they are the cause for the sattvika bhavas and the anubhavas?
Wasn't that the question I just asked?
No, I was reading that time. I did not listen to your question.
Ah, okay. It's taken a few years, but now we found the problem. As much of the time as I say something, and then immediately you repeat it.
No, because I was reading, I was just trying to figure out what is this going
to be. Okay.
Something new.
Yes, so we'll have to wait till he gets back.
Yes.
Okay. Jiva Goswami. Anga refers to the eyebrows and other bodily parts. Sattva refers to anubhavas, external symptoms, which arise from sattvas, emotions which overwhelm the heart. Right? Because here the sattva, here's meaning anubhavas and sattvas are referring to but the emotions which overwhelm the heart. So the same position of sattva, then it applies to both. Because they both have both.
That's not the sattva that we usually use, is goodness.
No.
I think it's meaning emotions here, sattvas, because the point is that the goodness means you're following the duties and rules and, you know, technically what should be done. Shuddha sattva means it's being done to please Krishna. Like that. So that would mean that it's the mood, that attitude. So there's emotions that are there. So those emotions, you have the internal aspect, you have the external aspect. And then also it seems you have the intellectual aspect about, you know, thinking about or applying. And depending upon what is the mix, we'll call it by one thing or another. But so here they're using the term sattva then as the emotional aspect. But here they're saying sattva is the external symptom, and it's also the emotion that overwhelms the heart. Because you have the emotion is there, and because of that, there's an external symptom. Does that make sense? So you can call both aspects sattva. So depending on what they're referring to, you see whether it means the result of the emotion, as in the anubhava, or as the emotion itself. Because as we mentioned before, the acharyas say that you can consider any result of vibhava as anubhava. So that means the results that are there in the Anubhava, Sattvika, and Vyabhichara, you can call all that Anubhava. The external symptom will always be so you can call it that. Whether the intelligence is involved or not, whether it's contradictory or not, but it's the result manifesting from the internal emotion that's generated by the Vibhava. Is that? Yeah, so in other words, the words can be used quite flexibly because you're taking different angles of the same thing. Depending upon the angle, therefore, you're bringing out a particular aspect.
All right. I had this question when I was going through this Natya Shastra that we can understand the particular emotion through the external manifestation, through the eyebrows, eyes, mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. So why is it happening? Is it the natural outcome that is happening? Or
It's just like you're saying, emotions which overwhelm the heart. So it's like, let's say, Mother Jashoda then sees something connected to Krishna. So that's that being the Udipan, or the Vibhava aspect. So the Udipan, then it creates a particular emotion in the heart. And depending upon what kind of the nature of that emotion, it'll manifest as an Anubhava or the Sattvika Bhava. It may have aspects of the Vyabhichari Bhavas, like that. So that combination of all that means her Stai Bhava with the Vibhava, and then the manifestation of these three kinds of Anubhavas, right? Then that's called Rasa. Does that make sense? So it's just the science is being broken down so you can see the finer parts that are at play. But here it's called the science because they're actually able to understand and use them. Does that make sense? Appreciate and all that. So it's not just just emotions happening. It's you can actually define what's happening here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why then Bharat Muni can write it down as the Natya Shastra. Because then you can define how the emotion, what goes with the emotion. Otherwise, then you might not mix the emotions. You might the internal sattva and the external sattva, you may not mix them properly. So you get them behaving in such a way that it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say, I'm not sure how it, but probably like 50s, 60s, might have even gone back further. I'm not sure where it was, but it was always this thing is that you'd have, let's say you'd have the aspect of the hero and the heroine. Right? Because we're discussing Natya Shastra. Okay, cool. Yeah. So then something comes up where the heroine is, how you say, emotionally just completely freaking out. You know, completely unhinged like this, just going crazy. And so then in these older kind of contexts, then occasionally they would use it, then the hero would give the heroine a slap, and then they'd just stop and then go back to normal. Like that. You know, but in reality, then you saw another one, he gives her a slap and then she becomes more freaked out and angry, and why did you do that, you know? Because the point is this, it's this idea that it should work like this, but it's not necessarily according to actually rasa. You know, it's just like if you have a machine, and it's a mechanical machine, it doesn't work, right? You know, you harass it, you push it, you beat it, you do something, and then it starts working, and then there's that. So in the same way is that, in other words, you know that the man wrote the script, that he just slaps the girl and everything's now fine.
I thought that she slapped him.
No.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, he slapped her. But it's an old thing that is just like that, and then they'd be like clear and lucid, and oh, yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. Like that. When in reality, according to to Bharat Muni, that wouldn't happen. So that's the thing, is that you come up with things that aren't real. They're not realistic. Does that make sense? So that's why then the science is there, because that's actually how it moves. That's how the emotions move and all that. They have a path they take. And so because they're always focused on Krishna, whatever path is coming up, then they follow that path. Because Krishna is the central point. Right? He's the central point of all relationships. And so then the application of that relationship and that in the situation you're in, that will be the path of bhakti. So that's the spontaneous. Because they're seeing that and following that. Right? So it's not an intellectual thing. You know, it's not like, well, should we do this or should we do that? Or I don't know. You know, that's not spontaneous.
Also, it's very clear from the first stage itself within the vibhava, then there is ashraya and vishaya.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to check what is the ashraya and vishaya to figure out that whether this emotion, where is it coming from? That's where itself the everything is. The cause for the whole rasa to be expressed is itself a clear indication whether it's spiritual or material.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what is the ashraya? What is, okay. Yeah, what's the vishaya? Yeah, okay.
So Maharaj, if you think about emotion, salva means pure salva. Spiritual emotion means always
pure. Yeah, it's always going to be pure. Because that's all we're discussing here. Only when you're getting into these ratyabhas and yes. Sattvabhas. Because yes. That's what means sattvabhas. It's not actually sattva.
Yes.
It's coming from the material softness of heart rather than spiritual.
Yes.
So it's not based on a relationship with Krishna. You understand? So you're getting all those kind of things. So you're having to tell the difference between what's spiritual and what's material. So here, except for those Wednesday when they discuss the non-real aspects, everything else they're discussing, this is real. So this is all based on love for Krishna. Otherwise, it won't, because it's the Stai Bhava's the main thing. Yes?
We have this rare example when Mahaprabhu remembering mundane, he triggers his emotion towards Krishna when he chants that verse during Ratha Yatra,
mm-hmm.
and then only Rupa Goswami understand, because he actually what happened is that year after year he used to chant that verse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the verse, but it's just some mundane song. And then nobody realized, and they wouldn't ask Mahaprabhu, why do you chant this mundane song? But then only Rupa Goswami, when he heard it, then he realized what is his feelings actually. As you know, Radhika meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra, and then he wrote that verse and put it on the roof of his...
Right.
And then Mahaprabhu came, and he wasn't there, and he looked at me, and then he asked Surup Damodar, how could Rupa Goswami realize what's in my heart?
Hmm.
So, in that case, it reversed the
yes,
sequence.
But it's also that means it's the same kind of thing of where we're continuing, where Krishna is telling the gopis how everything is him. So in everything you can remember him. It's just a matter, you have to take it all the way through to him. You know, I mean, you can go through the mechanics, and here we have it's direct. So he's just thinking of at that aspect of how it's the same boy and same girl, but it's a different place.
Yeah.
You know, and so because of that, then you don't get the... So that's how you can tell the difference between that and Notting Hill, right? Is that, you know, it's the principle is that it's your Krishna and that relationship with Krishna is the central point. And
right.
Then all other topics, if they're seen in that context, then they take on that spiritual aspect. So then there's not a problem there.
Yeah.
So it becomes important to be able to see that it's always on. That's why Prabhupada is always saying is that the spiritual is like gold and the material is lust. It's like iron. So it's not based on lust. It's based on this affection for Krishna, this attraction, attachment to Krishna. And because of that, then it's in a transcendental position. And all these others, then they're based on lust. So that's why it's there. So here it's that relationship between Krishna and the devotee, that affection between them, that's then the transcendental position. And it may have that conjugal aspect to it, but it's not based on the senses itself, because the senses and the sense objects, that's secondary. Right? So that'll be the Kriya and Jnana Shakti aspects.
Right.
And so the mechanics of it. But it's about expressing the affection. So because it's conjugal affection, it will be engaging the senses through the conjugal way. The parental will engage the senses in a parental way. Friendship will engage the same senses in a friendship way. You know, so it's not what's being done. It's the attitude. Just like the gopis hug Krishna, the mother Jashoda is embracing him, the cowherd boys are embracing him. But it's three different moods, so it's three different relationships, three different rasas. So in the same principle, then you bring it down to the what's the motive for that, the pleasing of Krishna, then it'll be, you know, following prema, or it's about, then it's following lust. So that's the whole thing, is that it depends on that attitude. So when that attitude is correct, that's the whole thing. So the mechanics of what's there, anything can remind you of Krishna. Because Krishna is everything. He is the, as we saw before, he is the potency behind why anything functions. Why it exists, what it can do, what its nature is. Krishna is all that. So any of those things that we look back to, the qualities of Krishna, and then the activities that happen between Krishna and the devotees based on those qualities, anything can remind us of Krishna's pastimes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. So that's why then the gopis, you know, the Brajabasis in general and the gopis in specific, then are never separated from Krishna because everything reminds them of Krishna. Acha? Need another ball of string there. You don't have another ball of string?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Okay, go.
After the class, we'll deal with it.
No.
Okay. Okay,
we have to clean that area because there's a nest or something. I don't know what it is.
Oh, but they haven't set up one because they're looking. Cause that's why they came down to here.
Yeah.
They're looking for a spot. Yes.
Jiva Goswami quotes the Sahitya Darpana.
Okay.
To describe the whole, this section of rasas. In the Sahitya Darpana, first, in order to get us related to what are the different sthayi bhavas, the material examples are quoted. Just like Vatsalya Rasa is just like parents, no love for the son. Madhurya Rasa is just like no husband love or the paramour's love, like that. Then at that time it's instructed, the difference between the material and spiritual is, as you said, that one is done out of selfless service attitude and the other is done out of selfishness. And though, apparently, even in the selfish attitude, there is seeming selflessness, like he's acting for somebody else's pleasure, because he's acting that, but still is acting in that way, because still it gives him pleasure,
mm-hmm.
not the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the highest test of love is the last verse of Shikshastaka, Ashlishyava Padaratha.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you care or not, then still love.
Yes, very good. Okay. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The first verse explains the derivation of the word Vyavichari Bhava by analyzing the components of the word. V stands for Visesha. Abhi stands for Abhimukya, and Chara stands for Charanti. Thus it means those bhavas which move, charanti, against the sthayi bhava while nourishing it in a special way, viseshana abhimukyena, and are known by words, bodily movements, and qualities of the mind, sattva. These bhavas are also called sanchari bhavas. This word is also given a meaning by analyzing its components. So it's showing that within Vyavichari, that it has all these components. And so therefore, that's why its name is there. But it can also, it's also called sanchari. Yeah. Yes. All of Vyavichari bhavas, 2, 4, 3. All of Vyavichari bhavas rising and falling like waves in the sweet ocean of the sthayi bhava, increase the stai bhava, and then merge into the stai bhava. 2426, right? Because they how do you say? They're rising and falling in a sweet way, in sweet ocean, right? So the waves are there, they're coming up, and then they merge back into the ocean. So they come out and they make a prominence so that it gives the flavor. And then they go back into the ocean,
yes,
the waves.
Yes.
So they'll come up, that's why they're called temporary. Right? They'll come up, make the, that mood and all that, then they'll go back.
Yes. Okay.
The Vyavachari Bhavas are as follows. Self-disgust, Nirveda. Remorse, Vishada. Thinking oneself unqualified, Danyam or Dinata. Debility, Glani or Mlani. Fatigue, Shrama. Rapture, Mada. Pride, Garva. Apprehension, Shankha. Sudden fear, Trasha. Confusion of the mind, Avega. Insanity, Unmada. Epilepsy, Apasmriti. Sickness, Vyadi. Loss of internal awareness, Moha. Death-like symptoms, Mriti. Sloth, Alasyam. Indecision, Jaryam. Shame, Vridha. Concealment, Abadhita. Remembrance, Smriti. Conjecture, Vitarka. Pondering, Chinta. Finding meaning through scriptural reference, Mati. Steadiness, Driti. Joy, Harsha. Impatience, Outshukshmya. Outshukhyam. Ferocity, Augryam. Augriya. Indignation, Amarsha. Fault finding, Asuya. Insolence, Chapalya. Sleep, Nidra. Dreaming, Shupti. And enlightenment, Bodha. Srila Prabhupada. There are some bodily symptoms which express overwhelming ecstatic love, Vyavichari Bhava. They are counted at 33 as follows. Disappointment, lamentation, humility, guilt, fatigue, intoxication, pride, doubt, apprehension, intense emotion, madness, forgetfulness, disease, confusion, death, laziness, inertness, bashfulness, concealment, remembrance, argumentativeness, anxiety, thoughtfulness, endurance, happiness, eagerness, violence, haughtiness, envy, impudence, dizziness, sleepiness, and alertness. Two, four, seven. Self-disgust arising from great sorrow, separation, hatred, or worrying about doing what should not be done, or not doing what should be done, is called Nirveda. In this state, worry, tears, change of color, feeling of lack of qualities, danyam, and sighing occur. Srila Prabhupada. Disappointment. When one is forced to act in a way which is forbidden, or to refrain from acting in a way which is proper, he becomes regretful and thinks himself dishonored. At that time, there is a sense of disappointment. In this kind of disappointment, one becomes full of anxiety, sheds tears, changes bodily color, feels humility, and breathes heavily. 248. From great sorrow. O Jashoda, what is to be gained from continuing to maintain this sinful, unfortunate body? Come, we will immediately offer our bodies in the lake of Kaliya filled with the fire of poison. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna, in punishing the Kaliya serpent, appeared to have drowned himself in the poisonous water of the Jamuna, Nanda Maharaj addressed Jashoda Devi thus, "My dear wife, Krishna has gone deep into the water, and so there is no longer any need to maintain our bodies, which are so full of sinful activities. Let us also enter into the poisonous water of the Jamuna and compensate for the sinful activities of our lives." End quote. This is an instance of severe shock when the devotee becomes greatly disappointed. 249. From separation. Without the presence of sweetness of Madhava, Vrindavan became withered, without charm and devoid of flowers. How does this unfortunate strong bee continue to live? Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna left Vrindavan, Subala, his intimate friend, decided to leave also. While leaving, Subala was contemplating that without Krishna, there was no longer any pleasure to be found in Vrindavan. The analogy is given that as the bees go away from a flower that has no honey, Subal left Vrindavan when he found there was no longer any relishable transcendental pleasure there. And these are... Okay, so that means the Vyabhichari Bhava of this disappointment, yes, or Nirveda, then we're going through all the different ways that it comes about.
Yes.
Disappointment, sorrow, separation. Okay. From Dana Kali Kalmudi, 2.4.10. O friend, without hearing the words of Madhava, my ears may have well become deaf. Without seeing the form of Madhava, my eyes may as well become blind. Srila Prabhupada. In Dana Kali Kalmudi, Srimati Radharani addresses one of her friends in this manner. My dear friend, if I cannot hear the glorious activities of Krishna, it is better for me to become deaf. And because I am now unable to see him, it would be good for me to be a blind woman. This is another instance of disappointment due to separation from Krishna. From anger in the words of Satyabhama, Harivamsa, O Krishna, if Narada is praising Rukmini in front of you, he is calling upon her a misfortune similar to mine. Srila Prabhupada. There's a statement in the Harivamsa wherein Satyabhama, one of the queens of Krishna and Dwarka, tell her husband, my dear Krishna, since I heard Narada glorifying Rukmini before you, I can understand that there is no need of any talking about myself. This is an instance of disappointment caused by envy. Rukmini and Satyabhama were co-wives, and because Krishna was husband of both, there naturally was some feminine envy between them. So when Satyabhama heard the glories of Rukmini, she was envious of her and thus became disappointed. Right? So that'll be... Because the main bhava is that of conjugal rasa, right? In the Swakya. So then we see is because of the situation, then this Vyabhichari bhava comes up.
Yes.
And that, you know, this aspect of... because of the envy, and that generates then the disappointment. Right, and so that'll generate then that kind of interaction where now she's talking with Krishna in this way.
Yes.
2.4.12. Through discrimination from the 10th canto. I have wasted all this time, O unconquerable one, becoming more and more intoxicated by my domain and opulence as an earthly king, misidentifying the mortal body as the self, becoming attracted to children, wives, treasury, and land. I suffered endless anxiety. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:51-47. Srila Prabhupada. In the 10th canto, 51st chapter, verse 47 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is this statement. My dear Krishna, I cannot say that it is only other people who are implicated in material existence, because I too am much entangled with the bodily concept of life. I am always too anxious about my family, home, wife, wealth, land, and kingdom. And because I have been so maddened by this material atmosphere, I am thinking now that my life has been simply spoiled. This statement is an instance of disappointment caused by lamentation. 2.4.13. Though it is inauspicious, Bharat Muni has mentioned Nirveda as the first Vyabhichari Bhava, since it is the Stai Bhava for Shantaras. This is the opinion of some persons. Footnote 11. This is mentioned again in 3.150. So, in the discussion of Shantarasa. Right, so then there's these aspects will come up, because it's a main mood of those in Shantaras. Because they're always absorbed in, you know, how something, you know, better could have been done, or something wasn't done, or, you know, all these different aspects. Srila Prabhupada. According to Bharat Muni, this disappointment is inauspicious. But there are other learned scholars who have accepted such disappointment as being in the mood of neutrality, and as being a preservative of a of ecstatic love. Jiva Goswami, the author, others, considers the Stai Bhava Shantaras to be Shantarati. That Nirveda is stated first here to merely is merely conforming to Bharat Muni's exposition of the subject. So this is the order in which Bharat Muni gives. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Nirveda is an inauspicious emotion. Why has it been considered first in the list? This verse answers, Bharat Muni has placed it first, considering it to be the Stai Bhava of the Shantarasa. That is, though it appears inauspicious, it is suitable to be placed first because of its prominence as a Stai Bhava as well, right? Because the others won't necessarily be Stai Bhavas, right? In this work, it is placed simply to conform to Bharat Muni's exposition of the subject. 2.4.14-15. Remorse. The remorse or despair arising from failure to attain one's desired object, from failure to accomplish a task, from occurrence of a disaster, or from committing an offense is called vishada. In this state, there is worry. Search for a means of accomplishment. Accomplishing. Search for assistance, weeping, moaning, heavy breathing, change of color, and drying of the mouth. So, is that the... is this the next one? Then? Okay. Okay. Lamentation. That's the next one. Srila Prabhupada. When one is unsuccessful in achieving his desired goal of life, when one finds no fulfillment in his present occupation, when one finds himself in reverse conditions, and when one feels guilt, at such time one is said to be in a state of lamentation. In this condition of lamentation, one becomes questioning, thoughtful, tearful, regretful, and heavy breathed. His bodily color changes, and his mouth becomes dry.
Is it possible to relate that symptoms to the first chapter of Gita, where Arjuna was lamenting?
Yes, I would think so. Right, because he sees whatever he does is just going to be wrong.
Yes. Because sometimes we see the first chapter as like material lamentation, means like not Krishna conscious, and so like that.
Yeah.
But we can relate to that thing.
The point is Bharat Muni is mentioning how emotions work. So whether they're on the spiritual platform, the material platform, the mechanics are the same. They work in the same way.
Yes.
Right? There's not a difference.
Yeah.
The difference is the effect they give.
Yes.
Right? The material platform is not that, that intense. Well, the spiritual, then it's eternal and gives happiness and all that. Well, the material, then it will always eventually disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, there with Arjuna is being given in that way because he's taking our position.
Yes.
And then from there, how he becomes self-realized. Because otherwise, who would be able to hear these instructions and ask the proper questions?
Yes.
So it's very efficient and very exact. Because it's like an Upanishad. So it's giving very exact questions. And so Arjuna plays that role. So by Krishna's yoga maya, then he's covered, so he acts in this way.
Yes.
You know, then it's relatable to us, our position.
Yes.
Yes. 2.4.16. From not obtaining one's desired object. O Krishna, killer of the Agha demon, my body is afflicted with age, my words are uncontrolled, and my mind is without memory power. What to speak of attaining the moon of bliss on seeing you? I have not even attained the opportunity of desiring to worship you. Right, so, saying not only have I not come to the point of being able to see, the happiness comes from seeing you, I don't even desire to worship. So I haven't even come to that position, because if you have the desire, then you have the need, and then you'll make the endeavor like that. Srila Prabhupada. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sorry, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.